This morning we will be continuing our series on faithful believers in the Old Testament that we can emulate today. Today we will be looking at Joseph under the title Believers Forgive and Embrace with Love. Please turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 to 21. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 to 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you speak to us through this text and from this text. Help us to realize the urgency and the importance for us to be united in love as a body, that we may be well suited for what you are about to bring in this church, your glory, the manifestation of your power, your revival. Help us, Lord, to heed the message from this text and love one another, that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Joseph, as most, if not all of us know, was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. As a matter of fact, he was the 11th son of Jacob. But apart from his other brothers, Joseph was special. He was special because the hand of God was visibly seen on him. From his dreams, it was obvious that God had a special plan for Joseph, which he didn't have with the other brothers. His dreams suggested that he was going to be an influential man. He was going to be a man who will be great and he will rule over his other brothers. But he was just a little brother to most of them, and for that reason they became jealous and annoyed with him. Joseph didn't hurt them. Joseph didn't do anything wrong. Just because of the blessing of God in the life of Joseph, because the favor of God was upon Joseph, those whom he called brothers and family hated him, were envious of him. Is there anyone here this morning who may have been in the same or is currently in the same situation? You live among a people who just hate you, who just are so jealous of you. You have a good heart, you love them, you just want to be a caring person, but the more God blesses you, the more they just hate you for no reason. In the case of Joseph, his brothers did not just hate him. His brothers did not just backbite against him. They hated him to a point where they wanted him dead and gone. Have you been in a situation where perhaps you are in this place of work and you are prospering? You're getting all the promotions and all the recognition from your employers, and your colleagues are not comfortable with your blessings, and they speak bad against you, and they just make life difficult for you. That was what Joseph was feeling. They hated him to a point where they wanted him dead, and they decided to kill him. First, they threw him in a pit, and he was left there. And while he was there, they were contemplating on what to do. Should they just kill him or what? And he was there in the pit. Why was he in the pit? Was it because he broke the law? No. Was it because he offended someone? No. Because God loved him. This morning I want to preach to someone who you feel like you are currently in the pit. Someone in your family or in your circles threw you in that pit, not because you did anything wrong, just because of the favor of God upon your life. And that hurts. And his brothers decided that there's no gain in killing him. Instead, let us sell him. Let's get rid of him. And they sold him as a slave to Egyptian slave traders. And for them, they understood that nothing good would ever come out of Joseph again. As a matter of fact, they are destroying his dream, his vision, his calling to become a great man. Now he's going to be a slave for the rest of his life. But what they meant for evil, God turned it around for good. Reminds me of the Chinese proverb that says, they buried us, but they did not know we were seeds. They buried us, but they did not know we were seeds. When you are a true child of God, when the hand of God is upon you, when the favor of the Lord is upon you, you are not disadvantaged. No matter how the pendulum swings, whether to the left or to the right, you are still blessed. Wherever you go, to the north or to the south, you are still blessed. Because everything works for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Because Joseph was blessed by God, God turned what was meant to be evil for his good. But there's something good about Joseph here, which is why I'm using him as one of the examples we must emulate, is when Joseph was betrayed by family, when Joseph was hated by family, he did not complain to God. He didn't go to God and say, I didn't ask you to bless me. Why, God? I will stop worshiping you because you did not protect me. Joseph still kept his faith in God. The Bible said, the righteous shall live by faith. And if he shrinks, my soul has no pleasure in me. So the thing is, sometimes when bad things happen to blessed people, we tend to give up on God. God has not promised that it's going to be easy, but God has promised that it's going to be possible. God has not promised that the road is going to be rosy all the way, but he has promised that in all things, he will protect you and he will be with you. Joseph put his trust in God. If Joseph turned his back on God, that would have been the end of Joseph's destiny. And oh, regrettably, there are so many people who, when they are thrown into the pit of life, And they question why God will let this happen to them. They turn their back on God and they lose out on what God has in store for them. But Joseph, even though he went through challenging times in Egypt, he kept his hope and his trust in God. Faithful men and women do not waver in their faith, regardless of the circumstances. And because Joseph did not waver in his faith, God was with him and God still blessed him. Even as a slave, he still rose up to a position of prominence in Potiphar's house. And even when the devil still did all what he did, Joseph still maintained his trust in God. And for that reason, God gave him a solution to the problem of famine, which was to hit that region. And God, because of Joseph was connected to God, and God revealed to him what needed to be done. And for that reason, the king of Egypt made him the prime minister of Egypt. A man who was condemned to death. A man who was written off by family. His family had already considered him dead and gone. But because he maintained his faith in the Lord, God turned that mess into a message. God transformed him from a zero to a hero. God took him from nothing to something. God took him from nowhere to somewhere. That's what happens when you do not give up on your trust in God when you go through suffering, especially the suffering that has been inflicted on you because of your loved ones. And we are told that Joseph, because of his influence and his new position as prime minister of Egypt, he invited his family to come and join him. When his brothers learned that he was alive, were afraid, and he told them, "Don't worry, I'm not going to hurt you." And so all of Joseph's family comes into Egypt and settles in the land of Goshen. And Jacob, his father, is so blessed that he is now reunited with his son and his entire family. They are now living together. But when Jacob's father, died, and after all the funeral rites were done and everything was over, then reality hit his brothers. "We know that we hurt this man. We know that we betrayed our brother. And perhaps he didn't want to hurt us. He didn't want to revenge because of his respect for our father. But now that our father is dead, what is our fate? What's going to happen to us now in Egypt? What is going to happen to our children now?" So in verse 15 of our text, we see his brothers anxious and worried, not knowing what Joseph would do. Because under normal circumstances, you don't want to have anything to do with family that betrayed you. Under normal circumstances, you don't want to have anything to do with family that stabbed you in the back. You don't want to have anything to do with family that pronounced you dead and faked your own death and caused you to leave your father's home and everything. Family that pushed you into slavery. You don't want to have anything to do with such family. And so their concerns was legitimate. It takes an unusual kind of man to overlook this evil. And so they figured out, what are we going to do now? So they sent messengers because they were afraid to go to him directly and bring up the subject, because he could just order for the arrest and the annihilation. So they sent messengers in verses 16 and 17. They sent messengers to go tell Joseph what their father had said. And what did their father say? Their father said, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil against you. So they say, Brother Joseph, we know we deserve your wrath. Now that you are in this exalted position, but please honor the memory of our father. This is what he said. And when Joseph heard these words from his brothers, he began to weep. Why? Well, the Bible does not say exactly why he was weeping, but context would suggest that he probably would be weeping because he was concerned that his brothers were anxious about what will happen to them. He was concerned that his brothers were distressed. When you realize that someone you really love is anxious and is distressed, you are concerned. Two, he was also angry and troubled that his brothers still did not trust him. Even though he had truly forgiven them from his heart, yet his brothers still doubted whether his forgiveness was real. And for that reason, he just broke down and he began to cry. So his weeping was a mixture of sympathy for his brothers because they were anxious and they were distressed, and also disappointment that they didn't trust him, that they didn't know the kind of person that he was. So in verse 18, his brothers got the feeling that, well, perhaps Joseph is not as bad as we thought he would be. So there is some hope in us securing his forgiveness. So they came to him in verses 19 and 20 and fell down on their feet. And they cried and said, please, we are your servants. Have mercy upon us. And as they began to cry at his feet, Joseph in verses 19 and 20 says to them, you don't have to worry, brothers. Don't be worried. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to harm you. And he gives them two reasons in the text why he will not hurt them. And they can be rest assured of that. Number one, he said, because I'm not God. Vengeance belongs to God only. Yes, I know that you did evil against me, but I'm not going to take the place of God and judge you. I'm not God. So you can be rest assured of that. He goes on to say, you don't have to be sorry. You don't have to cry, because what you did for me has worked out for my good and for the good of several other people. Because of me coming to Egypt and God revealing this vision to me, I have saved many people. So don't be sorry. You may have meant it for evil, but God has done it for good. So good has come out of this situation. So in verse 21, he says, because I'm not God, and because good has come out of the situation, he said, do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. In other words, as long as I am ruler in Egypt, you can be rest assured of my protection and you can be rest assured of my provision. Your household will be well. You have nothing to worry about. So clearly, Joseph is seen here as someone who truly loves, as someone who has a true compassionate heart to forgive those who deserve his wrath and his vengeance. But how? How was he able to do this? This almost sounds inhuman. Joseph was a human being, like any one of us. Why? How was he able to forgive his brothers and embrace them with love, regardless of what they did to him? We see three reasons here in the text. Because he recognized that vengeance belongs to God. You see, when you come to the realization that vengeance is not yours but God's, you will forgive those family members who hurt you bad. Even those ones in the church who hurt you. When you recognize that vengeance belongs to God. 2, he saw the purpose of God in the sufferings that his brothers made him to go through. He didn't see his brothers. He didn't see the devil. He saw God. What do you see when you go through trials and tribulations? What do you see when you feel betrayed and pushed away by friends and family? Do you see God in your misery, or do you see man? If you see man, you will always want to hurt man. But if you see God, you will know that God's ways are always right. That's the secret that Job used to triumph. Even though he went through all the challenges, who killed Job's children? It was the devil. Who destroyed Job's property? It was the devil. Who afflicted Job with sickness? It was the devil. But never did Job say, "Oh, the devil has destroyed me." He said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth. Even though he, God, slays me, yet I will serve him." Job saw God in his suffering. And because he saw God in his suffering, and he believed in God, and he trusted in God, he believed that God will see him through. And that's what Joseph did here. He saw God's purpose in his suffering. Number 3, he was able to forgive because he had genuine compassion and love for his brothers. You see, there is a Latin phrase that says, "Amor vincit omnia," which means love conquers all. From the text we read, from the scripture reading this morning, Paul is saying, if I have love, if I have faith that can move mountains, if I have the ability to speak in tongues of men and of angels, but I have no love, who am I? I'm nothing but a clanging cymbal and a ringing bell. When you have true love, love triumphs over everything. You will look at your enemies in the eye, the ones who hurt you in the eye, the ones who spoke against you in the eye, and say, "I love you regardless, because I know that everything works together for good to them that love God and accord according to his purpose." What if Joseph didn't have a loving heart? What if Joseph was not a compassionate man? He would have made a decision that would have destroyed the dreams of his father. The dying wish of his father Jacob was that all his children would live as one, united. And Joseph's decision that came from a heart of compassion fulfilled that. And so sometimes when you act on your anger and your hurts, you may not only be affecting your life only, you may be affecting the lives of your children and your church as a whole. Second, Joseph would have said, "Okay, I have the power now. I can do whatever I want. I'm right to do this. You deserve to be punished. Get out of Egypt now. I give you 5 days or 5 weeks or 5 months to pack and leave." And he would have been right. And if he did that, all of his brothers and their families would have possibly perished in the deserts. They would have either died of hunger or thirst or something. Or he would have said, "I don't need to ask you to leave. I'm going to destroy you here and now." He would have sent Egyptian chariots to go in Goshen and kill anything that's alive. He would have been right, because he's just, he's a king, he's a ruler. But he had compassion. And because he had compassion, he reunited with his brothers. And for that reason, not only was he able to fulfill the dream of his father, he was also able to make God's promise come to pass. Through Jacob, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a whole nation called Israel would come. Thanks to the fact that Joseph did not destroy, he didn't act out of anger. He acted out of love. Your act of love can save a generation. Your heart of compassion can save a church. And so I want to ask you this morning, if you were like Joseph, or if you were in Joseph's shoes, what would you do? If you were in the position where you could make a decision that would shape the future of our church, what would you do? A decision that would shape the future of your community, what would you do? Would you allow the fact that you've been hurt by some members of this church or in your family, some of whom are still here and some of whom have left, would you allow the fact that you've been hurt in the past affect the way you act in the church? Now, I know that we've come a long way as a church, and haven't existed for 70 years, there are many who have been hurt in the past. Some have been hurt by previous pastors. Some have been hurt by previous members. Some have been hurt by members who are still currently in our church. But I appeal to you this day, by the mercies of God, that you shouldn't allow your hurtful feelings to affect the way you do your work in this church. Leave the past in the past and open up for what God has for us in the future. The past belongs to the past now. Let God give you a heart of compassion that will forgive those who have hurt you in this church or who are hurting you in this church, and see things from God's perspective, so that you will play a key role in shaping the future of this church. Because of Joseph's love for his brothers, he played a key role in shaping the future of Israel. You, with your heart of love and compassion, you can shape the future of Glen Burnie Baptist Church if you act like Joseph. Forgive, forget, and embrace with love. So the message we can see from this text, clearly stated, is this. As believers today, we should learn to forgive. We should open up for genuine fellowship in this church, regardless of how we've been treated in the past. Let us look at each other and say, I don't care what you did to me in the past. I don't care how old you are. I don't care the color of your skin. As long as you profess that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are my brother. You are my sister. So give me a hug, because we belong to the same family. If we are able to get to that point, great things will happen in Glen Burnie Baptist Church. You have an important role to play in the future of our church. You can either let your hurt take the better part of you, and you can either leave the church or poison the minds of others because of the fact that you are hurting and the church will collapse, or you rise up above all of that and said, let bygones be bygones. And let us humble ourselves to what God has in store for us. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? I believe that you will do the right thing. You will learn from Joseph to have true compassion and love for your church and for your fellow members. But in order for us to do that, we need the help of God. God has to help us to forget about the past. Because as human beings, We have a tendency to remember. It's hard not to remember. It's hard not to be overtaken and be overshadowed and be driven by those feelings of hatred and anger for certain individuals or for the church as a whole. It's hard not to do that when we are in the flesh. Paul said, the good that I want to do, I cannot do. I want to love my church. I want to love the people of my church, but I can't do it because of what they did to me. And he said, the evil I don't want to do, I see myself doing it again and again. I know God wants me to forgive, but I just can't forgive. I know God wants me to forget, but I just can't forget, because whenever I see this person, whenever they lead in Sunday school, or whether they, whatever they do, or whether they lead in a certain committee, I just remember what they did or what they said, and my heart soars. I just can't. And Paul says, I am wretched because the good that I want to do, I cannot do. And the evil I don't want to do, I see myself doing it again and again. And he said, wretched, I'm wretched. I'm wretched because I cannot forgive. I'm wretched because I cannot forget. I'm wretched because I'm stuck in the past. Who will deliver me? Who will deliver me? I want to love my brothers and sisters. I want to love my church. I want to contribute to my church. Who will deliver me from this bondage that I am in? And Paul goes on to say, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who does it through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can do it. Jesus Christ can help us to rise up above our challenges. Rise up from the past and face the beauty of the future that he has set for us. Jesus can bind us together with cords of love that cannot be broken. Regardless of our age differences, regardless of our national backgrounds or ethnic backgrounds, regardless of our generation differences, Jesus is able to bind us together. Cords of love. We need to be united in love so that we will stand at the united front and serve God in this church. Why not take this moment and bow down your heads and say, Lord, help me to love my neighbor, my fellow brothers and sisters in this church as you have first loved me. Bind us together. Oh Lord, bind us with cords of love. I cannot be broken.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together. Lord, bind us together with love. There is only one God. There is only one King. That is why we can sing. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love.
If you know those words, sing with me.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love.
Please rise. This is our prayer, O Lord. This is our prayer. We come before you as the people who are hurting, who've been bruised, who've been taken advantage of, who've been insulted by others. We come before you this afternoon as a broken people. And we recognize that on our own we cannot rise up above these hurts and do anything meaningful for you unless you help us. So help us to rise up from the past. Help us to rise up from the hurts. Help us to rise up from the hatred we have against certain individual in this church for who they are and what they have done. For the hatred and the animosity we have against others who may have even left this church, but our hurts still remain. Help us, Lord, to rise up above all of those, all that baggage, all that hurt. Help us to rise up, O God, and put us on a new page. Help us to get into another dimension as a church. A dimension of love, a dimension of koinonia, fellowship, a dimension that is driven by the Spirit of God, a dimension that is healthy and fruitful for the work of the ministry. Only you can and only you will heal this body. So give us compassionate hearts. Forgiving hearts, as your servant Joseph had, and because of his love and his compassion, he saved a people, he saved a nation. Help us, Lord, to save this church. Help us, Lord, to save our community because of our love and our compassion. The house that is divided among itself cannot stand. And two cannot walk together unless they agree. So if we must do some meaningful ministry here at Glen Burnie Baptist Church, we need to be one. We have to be one. We cannot do but be one. And only you can make us one, O God. Please, please, bind us together. Bind us, Lord. With cords of love that will not be broken by the whims and by the caprices of the enemy, that will not be broken by the machinations of the evil one. Bind us together, oh, bind us. As we leave this fellowship this afternoon, we pray that you go with us. May the sermon resonate in our hearts throughout this week. Oh God, may we experience healing in this church like never before. That as a result of the sermon, that people will call one another and say, I just want to say I love you. That as a result of the sermon, members in the church will reach out to each other to make up and love each other, a fellowship, Lord. May your Spirit move in this place and cause that unity to happen. We pray. In the name of Jesus. And now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the mighty throne of God, be all glory, dominion, Jesus' name we pray.